Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Washington Weekly Podcast on the UBS In The Now Podcast channel. Joining us for the conversation today, glad to welcome back Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs US here at UBS. Shane, great to have you back here on the program. Thank you for dropping by and for spending some time today with our listeners and clients.
Thanks, Dan. It's great to be back with you. You know, as we probably talked about last time, you know, August is traditionally a little bit of a slower time in D.C. where everyone catches their breath. So it's good to connect with you as we head towards Labor Day.
Definitely. Though geopolitically speaking, we have seen some notable developments over the past several weeks. I immediately think about the recent Alaska summit nearly 2 weeks ago at this point involving President Trump and President Putin of Russia. Now, the Russia-Ukraine war continues with many wondering at this point if a path to peace is still on the table. Are there any indications, Shane, as to next steps to end the conflict, namely the timing of a potential trilateral summit involving the U.S., Russia, and Ukraine?
Yeah, you know, obviously, right after that meeting between President Trump and Russian President Putin, it was followed up with a meeting at the White House with Ukrainian President Zelensky and a number of European allies. So, you know, I think that was, to your point, in an effort to try and see if there was a path forward to a trilateral discussion to end the war. You know, since then, you have seen Trump administration officials, including J.D. Vance, you know, say that, you know, things are heading in a positive direction. They're, you know, I would say cautiously optimistic. However, you know, Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov was on Meet the Press the other day, and he was a little bit more tempered in his expectations. And, you know, while U.S. officials are trying to say, you know, Russian is starting to come to the table and make concessions, you know, I'm not sure the rest of the European countries and Ukraine see it that way. So there's no trilateral meeting in the making as of yet, but, you know, Trump administration envoy Steve Witkoff, I believe he's meeting with some Ukrainian officials this week in New York to try and keep the ball moving forward. And so, you know, I think there's a lot of effort into trying to get to a place where there can be a trilateral meeting between, you know, Russia, Ukraine, and the U.S. to forge a peace agreement. But, you know, I don't think we're there yet. So, and you're seeing that on kind of the battlefield, if you will, where Russia continues to try and gain more ground in the eastern regions of Ukraine. So, you know, while I think, you know, as we've talked about for years, anytime you're talking, you know, it's a positive development. I, you know, I'm just not terribly optimistic at this moment that we're going to see some kind of breakthrough in the next few weeks.
Well, Shane, thank you for the insights. We will see how this takes shape in the days and weeks ahead. If we turn back to the U.S., domestically speaking, there has been a lot of focus on the Trump administration's efforts to reduce crime in Washington, D.C., the nation's capital. Now, this involves the use of multiple agencies coordinating with the National Guard. Response has resulted in mixed feelings amongst the public and, of course, lawmakers. What have we seen at this point in terms of results, and might this approach be replicated in other major cities across the U.S.?
Yeah, you know, working here in D.C., it depends where you are in the city. If you see the presence, you know, I've gone through Union Station and in some of my commutes and seen this presence of the National Guard. I was talking with someone the other day who was down on the mall for, you know, a kickball game, and they saw National Guard presence, but it's not, you know, throughout the city. So, you know, it depends where you're going to go if you see it. I think the, you know, residents of the district overwhelmingly disapprove of this. They feel like it's kind of a takeover of their city. However, that's not, you know, 100%. A number of residents and, you know, a lot of tourists, et cetera, are concerned about the crime. And, you know, crime rates have been dropping with this presence. But, you know, is that just a blip on the radar, or will that continue? That remains to be seen. And so I think, you know, to your point, you know, this is being examined for replication, most notably in Baltimore and Chicago. You know, the governors of both Maryland and Illinois have pushed back and are not receptive to that. So I think we're going to see more noise between President Trump and Democrats on this front in the coming days and weeks. And, you know, I think you'll see President Trump try and tout this as making progress for crime rates in D.C. and say it's needed in some of these other cities as well.
Well, thank you, Shane, for the insights, and we shall see how this plays out from here. If we stick with Washington, D.C., as we're speaking here in late August, lawmakers are preparing their return to Washington in just a few days in September. What will be some immediate focuses of Congress? I imagine that their agenda is quite lengthy.
Yeah, they do. But they also have things that are kind of, you know, more immediate, if you will, right? When they come back, they're scheduled to be in session for about 3 weeks. And at the end of September is when government funding expires. So if no action is taken by the end of September, we could see a government shutdown on October 1st. And, you know, this is a threat I think you have talked about all too many times. And the possibility, I think, is a little bit higher than in previous instances, maybe the past few times we talked about it. You know, we saw earlier this year, Democrat Senate Leader Schumer agree to a deal for government funding, and that really caught him in a bind with the Democratic progressive base of the party. And so he may not be as willing to, you know, cut a deal this time. And so I think that increases the possibility of a government shutdown. So it'll make for a tense few weeks in September to see if they can reach a deal. So I think we're seeing the odds of maybe a partial government shutdown or full government shutdown higher than it has been in the last few instances. But I would also remind you that, you know, government shutdown is not, you know, a cataclysmic event for the markets. You know, it's something that we have seen over the years, and, you know, it doesn't really move the needle as much as some may think. There are additional items. You know, President Trump is really going to push the Senate hard to pass some of his nominations, whether that be to the courts or to different agencies and departments to get some key personnel in place. I think he was a little frustrated when the Senate adjourned without getting more of his nominations across the finish line. So I think he's going to push the Senate hard on that. There are a number of other items that I think we'll see addressed, but those are kind of the top two, I think, that we'll hear and see about in the coming weeks.
Well, thank you, Shane, for the preview. It sounds like we will have a lot to talk about come September. With that, Shane, thank you for dropping by today, spending some time with our listeners and our clients for this late summer update. Do look forward to continuing with our conversation in a couple of weeks.
Always good to catch up with you, Dan, and I look forward to the next time we can chat.
Definitely. Thank you, Shane. And again, today we have been joined by Shane Lieberman, Senior Governmental Affairs Advisor with Governmental Affairs U.S. here at UBS. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Financial Services, Inc. does not provide legal or tax advice, and this does not constitute such advice. UBS strongly recommends that persons obtain appropriate independent legal, tax, and other professional advice. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA SIPC.